All right. I am Tony Roseland. Welcome to the Pixel Punishers podcast, episode 8. I think we're on 8 this week. And not across from me, as always, Mr. Chase Warnick is absent today. He is on the road with Mr. Jed Conklin working as his digital tech. So I've brought in dear old Daddy-O once again. What's up, Pop?
Not much. What's happening? Appreciate being here.
Yeah. So he is filling the seat tonight and gives me somebody to look at and somebody to talk to here in the studio because our counterpart is north of the border up there in maple syrup land. Mr. Barry Mack, what's up, dude?
Hey, guys. Tony Sr., Tony Jr. How are you guys doing?
You know.
Doing okay.
Yeah, recovering.
All you have is maple syrup today? Nothing?
Dude, this is how out of prepared I am for this podcast. So we have no guest tonight, and I didn't get a chance to prepare because I just got back late last night, man. For those of you who don't know, I was down in Kansas riding a 100-mile gravel bike ride through the plains of Kansas in the hot 100-plus degree heat, 9.5 hours in the saddle, and I am still feeling it. So I have not recovered from that fully, and I have not done my homework to figure out an interesting fact about Canada. So
that's okay. We'll let it slide this time. I mean, it's good that it was sunny and warm and not tornadoes, because I guess Kansas has been getting ripped up pretty bad, or the Midwest, so...
Yeah, evidently.
That's positive.
Yeah, right before we got there, evidently, it had been like torrential downpours and tornado. Literally the day before we went down, there was a tornado, not in the area that we were going to, but they did have torrential downpours, and it caused all kinds of havoc for mud and everything else. So anyway, it was an interesting race. I finished, yay me, and it was brutal, and I'm looking forward to going back next year and doing the 200-mile version, so...
You're savage.
It's called the Dirty Kanza. For those of you who are glutton for punishment, check it out. If you're interested, I would strongly not recommend doing it because it's painful and hot, and it's unsupported race, which means you have to take everything with you, all your water, all your nutrition and everything. There are not like people on the side of the road with cups of water as you ride by. It's not that kind of race, so...
If you were to show up with a Razor scooter, would that work? Or
I think it would have to have pedals, but you could probably show up with a unicycle.
Okay.
You know, I mean...
You know what? I've never ridden a unicycle, but people that ride unicycles, sometimes you see a random guy on the street riding a unicycle, and that is amazing.
Dude, I think it's hard. I've tried it once or twice. Not enough time to, like, figure it out, but it seems really difficult. It's a direct drive, so your pedals are
directly... It's a damn wheel with a seat on top of it.
Mm-hmm. I think I've seen a unibike e-cycle.
For real?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've seen guys that do like extreme unicycling where they're like doing jumps and riding down balance beams and going off of like ramps and all kinds of crazy stuff. It's nuts, man, what these guys are capable of. They're like, it's like circus performers, man. I'd like to try it. I'd like to check it out one time and see... like I have enough time with one that I could actually kind of get the hang of it and see if I could ride it around like a bear.
I have no urge.
No?
No, none. Zero.
You're not into bikes anyway.
No, I'm not into bikes. I don't really like wearing helmets around and stuff like that, so. It's not the thing for me.
I don't just walk around in a helmet.
Well, I've seen you with your helmet on.
Did Barry wear a helmet to spin class?
Yeah. I probably should have.
How long did it take you to recover from that?
It was literally almost 2 weeks, but the funniest part was the dude handed out like 3-pound dumbbells, and I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with these things? And then he had me hold them over my head for about 9 minutes, and my arms almost fell off. So
harder than people think, man.
It is hard, man, especially when you're trying to do like disco dancing in a bike.
I know, and your triceps start burning and your abs burning, and you gotta give credit to these chicks that go out and do that stuff every day, man.
It's horrible, but it's a good view.
Yeah, the scenery's nice from the back row. Yep. Well, you know, you gotta have some kind of motivation.
Absolutely.
So what's been going on up there, man? I haven't talked to you in days since I've been gone. What have you guys been up to?
Same old, man. Just working through the stuff I shot last week in Toronto. And I dislike that city. I mean, it's a great, great city, but it smells like pee and farts. And
like New York.
Yeah, it's basically like New York. And I sat at a traffic light. I'm not joking. I sat at a traffic light for 45 minutes, and I was only six cars back. And I wanted to break things, and I was almost late for my appointment. So I don't understand why people deal with that. I guess people that live in big cities like that probably use mass transit or something. But driving in Toronto is a fucking nightmare.
Oh, dude, Seattle, same thing, man. It's a mess, man. I hate it.
I don't know how people can do it.
I don't either. There's no way I couldn't do it. I don't want to live there as a result. But the stuff you shot, was that all for the same client or were different clients or what?
It was originally supposed to be three clients. So one client it's called the Remix Project, and they do they help kind of like troubled youth. And I think the age range is between 18 and 26. So these are people that maybe have been in prison or in gangs or have substance abuse problems, but they get about 600 applicants a year to work in this space. It's a creative space, so they have a photo studio. They teach you how to be a DJ. They teach you how to do Photoshop or After Effects, or there's a recording booth. They've actually, Drake recorded some of his original demo tapes in this space. I shot their new space, but there's a location in Toronto and there's a location in Chicago as well. And basically it's all government funded. So these people, the hopes is that they can get these people, you know, to turn things around before it's too late and get them working in a creative space. So my friend Brian, he's a director, and he brought me on to shoot the project. So that was really cool. And then I had another project for Bin's Kitchen and Bath Design.
Well, going back to the other one, though, so was Drake part of this youth program that they offer, or was he just there once? How did he get involved in that originally? He's Canadian, right? I mean, he's Canadian.
He is. Okay. Yeah, he's from Toronto. So he got his start on Degrassi, which was like a teen sort of drama type show. So that's where he got his start. It's not like he was, you know, in the hood or anything like that. Not that I know of, but was somehow affiliated with this space. So he recorded some early demos in this place, and they have this whole like placard at the front desk of like the history of the space. I think it's been going, Brian was telling me that this is the 15th, class that has gone through. And he said that, they've had some massive, people that have gone on to do stuff. He mentioned some names, I can't remember, but in music and then in film. And so they're changing lives, man. It's a dope space too. It's sort of like a wide open co-working space, and they have a shipping container directly in the middle of the whole area, where it's like a conference room that's got like this gelled yellow glass on either end, but it's a black shipping container. So it's all, the whole space is black, white, and like gray, and then with a yellow accent. Yeah, really cool.
So have you started editing that stuff yet? Or?
I started today, yeah. So
My shit got pushed back then?
Well, this stuff's going in Toronto Life magazine, and it's going in the Globe and Mail, and
damn it,
the Prime Minister's going to be there, Drake's going to be there, the Mayor of Toronto's going to be there. So this is all for their grand opening of the space, which happens, I think all the promo stuff gets pushed out on the 11th, so I have to deliver everything by Thursday. So it's pretty cool. The Prime Minister will be there, and Drake. And
are you going to go back down and meet everybody?
Hell no, I'm not going back to Toronto. No way, man.
All right, so what were the other ones? You started to go in some Ben's Kitchen and Bath or something?
Yeah, Ben's Kitchen and Bath Design. So I shot a kitchen for them. And then Friday was supposed to be another kitchen for my client Hedgeford in Berkeley, but that got postponed. So I'm actually going to be heading back next month to shoot a visual effects studio and then try to tackle that kitchen as well. So I'll be back to Toronto, you know, within the next month or so.
The visual effects studio, is that the dude you were telling me we need to get on the podcast?
Yeah. So he, after I was done shooting, him and I met up for dinner and had a couple beers. And then we went back to the VFX studio, and he was showing me we were having like a PC Mac battle, and I was getting to benchmark his ridiculous PC, and it was pretty impressive, man. Like he was showing me the render farms and all this other shit that I don't know what any of it is, but pretty impressive stuff. And we'll get him on. He was showing me how they track projects and how They determine whether they're like making money or losing money on a project. And they work for Discovery Channel. Like they do all those Mighty series, like Mighty Ships, Mighty Planes, Mighty everything. So they do all that stuff. And it'll be a good episode though. He's a cool dude. He knows his shit. It was fascinating.
You know, you don't have to be a mute over there, Senior. If you have something to add or say or question, feel free to jump in.
I have one question.
Yeah.
This Degrassi, skipping back to that, is that sort of a Canadian Mouseketeers?
I don't know if it's a Mouseketeers. Degrassi was kind of like, maybe like sort of like a Canadian Saved by the Bell.
He did like 140 episodes or something like that. So
gotcha. He did something like that.
He was
yes.
the Zach Morris of Canada.
Yeah.
I don't know if he was the Zach Morris. His name was Wheels, and he rode around in a wheelchair.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's funny. It's a small world. My one of my really good friends, his wife actually worked. She did wardrobe and like set design or something, and she was working on that show way back in the day when Drake was basically just this, you know, budding like actor on a Canadian TV series. So it's pretty crazy how it all connects.
Yeah, no kidding. It's weird how people get their starts sometime on some of these things. You know, a lot of these stars come from these kids shows, you know.
Oh, if you track them.
Totally.
Back,
yeah. They were Mouseketeers or they were on Nickelodeon or some shit like that, you know, and now they're huge. It's their back end, all the back end networking that they're doing there. So.
All these Justin Timberlakes and...
Yeah.
Indeed. Like Drake, like it's insane how big Drake is, though. It's like the NBA wrote him a letter to tell him to cool it on the sidelines at the Raptors games for the finals because he was...
Didn't he cause a loss or something?
He was trolling Milwaukee pretty bad in the semifinals. So they said, you know, win the finals, you got to cool a little bit. But that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And speaking of sports, how about this new world champion? Ruiz or whatever. I don't know. Did you guys see any of that fight?
I don't follow sports at all.
Okay.
You don't follow sports ball at all?
No, no sports ball. I'll watch some tennis once in a while, but no sports ball.
But you got this, I forget the guy's name, who was the world champion. I don't follow it either, but I saw the highlights of it. Because you got this world champion who's like 7 foot tall, 300 pounds, you know, is just sculptured, you know, just a massive guy. And then you have Ruiz, who came in as a challenger, and he's this little fat, blumpy guy. And he took him out, took the world championship from him.
Tops Anthony Joshua in massive boxing upset. Interesting. Yeah, no, I didn't follow that. Again, I've been gone. When did that happen? This weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, that's why I've been out of touch with reality. I've been stuck in Kansas.
I didn't even know boxing was a thing anymore. Like, I thought that people just want to see, like, MMA and, like, bare knuckles face smash.
Yeah, you know, gloves and, you know, it all seems pretty pansy these days compared to a knee to the teeth. And
indeed.
You know, but I wouldn't tell anybody who was a professional boxer that.
No, hell no.
They don't listen to our podcast anyway, so.
Well, we are Joe Rogan's sister podcast.
Right, which is all MMA, so.
Yeah,
exactly. Good. We're good. Yeah.
I like how we plug that every week.
Yeah, we'll just keep doing that until we either get sued or recognized, one of the two, so. Anyway, yeah, Chase is gone, so it took me a second to figure out GarageBand, but he's been on the road with Jed doing some kind of a shoot for local bank or something, you know, like, we'll manage your money, you go have fun. And it's like people hang gliding and raising goats or whatever it is. I don't know, whatever it is they do in their spare time that they're taking pictures of. But
I saw that he was hanging with goats, and I love goats.
Yeah.
I want a goat to walk on me. Like, I want to do goat yoga, and I want to walk on my back with its little legs. And then if it has to shoot some pellets on me, that's fine.
But they have to. I mean, that's all I'm thinking about is you're trying to lay there and do yoga, and all you're smelling is goat shit.
I've never actually smelled goat shit, but I wouldn't mind if a goat shit on me.
Do you think it's like vodka where you can't smell it?
Maybe.
You just feel it. Yeah.
Yeah, you just feel it's like someone just dumped a... a bit of marbles on your back.
Bunch of hot marbles.
Spilled a pot of beans.
Yeah. Maybe goat shit don't stink. I don't know.
Maybe someone in podcast land can tell us whether goat shit stinks. I'm sure it does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I just don't have any goat affiliations. So,
so Tony, tell me about the Four Seasons down there in Kansas.
That was nice. It really was. Okay, so this is their only, like, I guess this city has two major events now. I got a very brief synopsis that said Emporia, Kansas was really struggling from one of the locals down there. And he said they, in an attempt to revive the city, they started to try to be a destination for a couple of events. One of them is one of the premier frisbee golf, or I guess they call it disc golf events. This is huge down there. Everywhere you go, there's like signed disc golf things mounted to the wall, and they have, you know, the beers are all brew of, you know, the ninth hole putt, whatever the fuck, I don't know. I don't follow disc golf, but
hit the chain.
Yeah, it's all that kind of shit. And you go into the city hall thing where you register for race packets and stuff, and it was all the different like disc golf goals, I guess. Are they called goals? Baskets?
Maybe a hole.
But you know what I'm talking about? Those things that have the chains that look like trash cans with chains hanging off the side of them.
Yeah, yeah.
How about basket hole?
A basket hole. All right. Yeah. So that's what and they have like all the generations of those and how they've evolved over time. And let me tell you, it's really not that interesting. There's not a lot of evolution there, but they were there. So anyway. The other event is the Dirty Kansas, which is the world's premier gravel race, and it's pretty fucking brutal. I won't go into detail on how bad it was, but it's huge now, so they draw people from all over the place. Well, as a result, every hotel down there gouges like crazy for these events. So they have a Holiday Inn Express, and that was like $400-something a night. They have a... I think it's the Hampton Inn, which was also up there at like $400-$600 a night or something.
Well,
like
the Hampton does have a waffle bar, and the waffles are fantastic.
The Four Seasons had a waffle bar too. Let me tell you. So we stayed at a place called the Roadway Inn, and it was sistered up next to a place that I can't remember the name of it. But the two of them combined, we just dubbed the Four Seasons because they were really, really sweet. They were $89 a night, and I'm not cheap. I'm fine to pay for a room if it's a nice room, but I refuse to pay $400 or $500 for a Holiday Inn Express. So I looked around, and unfortunately, by the time I decided to go ahead and pull the trigger, there was only one room left in Emporia, Kansas, and it was at the place, the Roadway Inn, that we booked. So I got it for $89 a night. Well, I don't think that they do linen service there. I'm pretty sure they just make the bed from the last person that was there. They don't vacuum, I can tell you that. They don't paint. They don't do any maintenance. Every couple of years, it looks like they may caulk the bathtub at the same time they clean it.
Did you say cock?
Yes, it was a white cock.
Oh, not a black cock.
No, this was much smaller.
In the bathtub?
Yeah. I found some white cock in a bathtub. So Jerky Boys, old Jerky Boys reference.
Classic.
It was just nasty, dude, all the way around. And so, you know, they had a pool. It was full of mouth breathers. There was no way I was getting in that thing. So it was just ridiculous. And anyway, that's where we stayed. And it didn't really matter because we were there. We set up our bikes. We went, we rode the race. We came back. We passed out and tried to recover. I mean, it was, you know, did what it needed to. But, man, I tell you what, I don't know what they do the rest of the year there because who the hell would stay there? I don't know how they stay open. It doesn't make any sense.
How did the shipping your bike work out? Was that all good?
Yeah, actually, it was fine. We put it in a box, like a regular manufacturer box. You can buy these fancy cases and ship them, and they're like, you know, $300-$500+ for a fancy box or case. And then you check it and all that stuff, or you can ship it. There's companies out there called Bike Flights that is basically a subsidiary of FedEx that will ship your bike for you. And we just put it in a manufacturer box and then taped it up and checked it as luggage on Alaska. Alaska Airlines doesn't charge oversized fees for sports equipment like golf clubs, bikes, surfboards, shit like that.
Boats,
yeah. You can check like a – they won't take kayaks, but your inflatable boat they took.
I shipped a boat down, just checked it as baggage.
Like a little Zodiac and checked it as baggage.
Are you being serious?
Yeah, he did. It was crazy.
Like if you brought a surfboard, you're not paying extra for that?
Mm-mm.
Good Lord, they're doing nice work over at Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking American wants to charge me if I want to bring like a spare battery.
Yeah, and that's one of the few airlines that does that. That's a big perk for Alaska. So I flew first class, so my checked baggage was free anyway. So it didn't, I mean, it was all included in my ticket anyway. I just took it up there, checked it as regular luggage. The guy that was with me was flying cattle class, and he checked his. He had to pay $30 or whatever as a regular checked bag fee, but he didn't have to pay any overages for oversized luggage or anything.
He's just in the back with the chickens and the goats?
Yep, exactly.
Good for him.
So, we flew down there and we did our thing and we came home and all was good. Bikes made it both ways. It was a little pain in the ass dragging it through the airport when we got there, but we figured out a better solution for next time. I'll pick up the rental car first and then swing around and pick him up. So work harder, not smarter. Or
you got to work harder, smarter? Not smarter.
Work smarter, not harder.
Mm. One of them. Yeah. You know, when I flew home from Arizona, how we upgraded my last leg to first class.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got goosed on that because there was like crazy thunderstorms over the Great Lakes, and they made an announcement actually in Chicago before the flight even boarded. The captain came into the terminal and said, just so you know, there's crazy storms and we won't be offering any service on this plane. The stewardess is going to be sitting down or whatever. So I got goosed. I didn't get to have any alcohol at all. I got a little something while we were on the tarmac, but when we were airborne, there was no action in first class, so I got totally goosed.
That sucks, man.
I know, and no compensation.
Yeah, they're not going to do anything for that. That's out of their control, of course. So,
Mother Nature.
Yep. Well, all right, so let's see. We got a bunch of news with Apple we can talk about. Also, we should probably mention our guest next week, confirmed, Mr. Aaron Nace from Flurn.
Who's that?
He's a guy that knows evidently about an application used for photo editing.
Really? I haven't heard of him.
No, it's, what's the company? Adobe? Adobe is the company.
Oh, yes.
The app is, have you heard of this, Senior? It's an app for editing photos.
Abode?
Yeah, I think the company is called Adobe. Let me look it up. And they make an app for editing. Yeah, Photoshop. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he uses an app called Photoshop to edit photos. Evidently, he's quite the expert on it. So we're going to have him on and talk about that little app, see if it's any good, see what his thoughts are.
Where's he live? Cool.
He's in Chicago. So if the audience has any questions for Mr. Aaron Nace, hit us up at Pixel Punishers on Instagram with a little direct message and let us know your question and we'll get it on the air for Aaron to answer. So in all reality, maybe there's a language barrier, if you're listening to the podcast and you don't understand that we're joking, obviously, Aaron Nace from Flurn is one of the world's foremost experts on Photoshop, and he will be joining us next week. We're going to be talking about the future of mobile editing, using like iPads and phones and things like that to edit photos and where that's going. We're also going to be talking about Wacom and other tablets and his thoughts on that stuff and then whatever else we can think of.
Did you say Wacom? I thought it was Wankum.
I'm pretty sure it's Wacom.
Oh, okay. I mean, I've been wrong before.
Let's ask Aaron.
Okay, deal.
So anyway, that's the agenda for next week. So very cool. You know, he's a big shot. I had to go through all the hoops and talk to his people, you know, and go through all of the, sign all the proper disclosures and forms and releases and everything else to make sure that, that we were going to ask the appropriate questions of Aaron. Clearly they've never listened to our podcast.
So you didn't have, it's not like we don't have people to ask his people. Like we actually have to talk to his people.
Yeah. I had to do a phone conference with people. So. And they're like, they definitely never listened to the podcast because they were kind of trying to get an idea for the interview that we were going to be doing. And I'm like, yeah, sure, interview.
And you're going, you haven't. Oh, my gosh, you haven't.
Yeah. So, anyhow,
I don't think he'll have a problem with the podcast because we've hung with Aaron in around the pool in the Bahamas and
fuck, I went to the Lollapalooza with the guy.
Yeah,
I
mean, he's our people.
Yeah, he is, but he does run a much bigger brand than either of us, and so he has that to think about. Of course, you know
he does.
But you know, maybe we'll add some additional followers to the Fleur network for him that his net wasn't catching before. I don't know.
We can get him probably like at least like two guys, yeah. Maybe, and one girl.
All three of our listeners.
Yeah, we'll get all three of them to sign up. So yeah,
we'll get all three of them over there. So, but in other news, Apple today finally dropped the new Mac Pro. What do you think about that? Did you get a chance to watch it?
I did. Yeah, I saw the cheese grater, and I only caught the tail end of when they announced the cheese grater and that new display with a $999 mount. Jesus.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. I had Soren all day today. Liz was working, and so I was just kind of catching the blog feeds as they were pouring in. But looked like 6K monitor, reference class monitor.
Yeah, and like I may be reading this wrong, but did they say that that the memory is expandable to 1.5 terabytes?
Yes, sir.
That's insanity.
That's amazing.
I thought having 64 gigabytes of RAM made me like a bit of a big deal, but 1.5 terabytes of RAM?
Yeah, and it was like teraflops of video, this and that, and the other processing, and I don't know. I haven't even been able to dive through all the specs yet, but yeah, it looks kind of cool. I don't know. They kind of went backwards. They tried to go crazy with the trash can, and people did not like it and didn't sell well, and you couldn't upgrade it, and you couldn't do shit to it, and it ran hot, and so now they've kind of stepped back to a more traditional style tower, looks like. So
good. They need to do that for people that are actually doing work on a Mac.
Yeah, man, do something for your pros that got you where you are today, you know?
It looks pretty amazing, and I think the entry level is like $49.99, and then the display's $49.99. So you're at plus the actual monitor stand. So you're at $11K out of the gate for entry level Mac Pro.
I thought I saw $59.99 for the entry level of either of those. Am I wrong?
Oh, is that what it is? I could be wrong. Yeah, I have no idea. But all I know is that I was watching it, and during the portion on OS X, they brought these two weirdos out from fucking Minecraft, and they did the worst, most cringy presentation I've ever seen in my entire life. It was so awkward. So if you get to that, just skip past it.
Dude, I'm on the Apple website, like scrolling through for the Mac Pro, and the effects that they have on this website is cool. As you scroll,
The case comes off
and shit. I mean, this is pretty cool shit that they're doing.
And when you get to the bottom, all the speed or benchmark info, there's so much like asterisk stuff at the bottom. There's like pages of like of shit at the bottom in little small gray text.
8 core PCI Express slots, bunch of Thunderbolt 3 slots. I think I saw there's 12 memory slots, dude.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be crazy.
I don't know who's going to actually afford to buy one of those. I mean,
that's a problem. Are they going to price themselves out of the market?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that are doing video work these days that have a demand for this, and they can afford it. Video, there's good money in video.
Well, think how weak it is that the entry-level model has 32 gigs of RAM. Like, come on, Apple. Like, put 128 or something. Like, it's not like RAM's expensive these days.
For guys like you and me who want to get one of these but don't want to dump $12,000 into it out of the gate, we can buy that and then slowly upgrade, you know. That's the beauty of it, is that you can upgrade everything, evidently. So
that's the beauty of it. I grab a dog and I choke him and I kick the shit out of him.
Beautiful.
All day long, I put up a dog's ass. Bang, bang, bang.
All day. Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. Friday quotes. My dad's over here like, what is he talking about?
I have no idea.
No, it's from a movie. So, yeah, it looks pretty rad. I don't know, man. It looks pretty cool. I'd be down. I'm concerned about the display. It's cool looking too, but goddamn, it's expensive.
Yeah, it's 32 inch.
Yeah, I think that's what it said, 32. So, oh yeah, I'm seeing all the footnotes at the bottom. Yeah, that display is kind of weird looking, but it definitely looks cool. It's expensive.
Well, that's a 5K, 6K,
6K. Yeah, 6K display. So I don't know, man. I can't wait to check it all out. It sounds like a lot of money. It sounds like I'm going to spend a lot of money at some point in time.
And didn't Panasonic drop a 6K camera this week as well?
I don't know. Again, I'm out of touch, man. I flew out to Never Never Land and Tuesday or whatever day I left. I've been out of touch on everything.
You basically traveled back in time and you don't know what's happening.
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I think Panasonic released I don't even remember. I don't even know what their cameras are, but I'm pretty sure
Lumix?
They announced. Is it Lumix? The Lumix. Yeah. Is it the G? Is No idea. Anyways, I think it's a 6K and people are raving about it, apparently. I saw Fro do a quick video about it.
Panasonic Lumix GX 6 or something. I don't know, whatever. But yeah, they, you know, those things are good. I did have a pair of them. I got called by Skechers to do some video work. Jason Myers down in Nashville was doing a photo shoot of some golf pros up here at a golf ranch for Skechers, and they wanted to get some video as well. And so they reached out and wanted me to do video.
Well, wait, did you say golf ranch?
Yeah, some kind of golf ranch.
Not a golf course, a golf ranch?
Well, it's like a ranch with a golf course on it.
Okay.
It's called Gaza Ranch.
Okay. So, I've never heard of a golf ranch, so I just wanted to check.
Well, it was a golf
in.
Course, but it's called Gaza Ranch. And so we were there, and there's celebrities walking around the place. Like Wayne Gretzky was there while we were there. I mean, just all kinds of celebrities all over the place. Private course, obviously. Very, very high end.
And a ranch. That's why it's called a ranch.
Right. So they're doing this thing. Well, part of the thing Skechers threw out was that they wanted 4K video. Well, I didn't have 4K cameras at the time. So I overnighted from B&H two of the Lumix GX5s, where they are. I think GX5. I think that's the right nomenclature. I don't care. Whatever. Anyway, I ordered two of their little, are they Micro Four Thirds? I think those are, right? Or some kind of small sensor?
I think they're Four Thirds.
So I ordered two of those and Metabones adapters and all the shit that I needed to do this thing the next day because I didn't have 4K cameras. And so I stayed up that night and read the manuals and figured out how to use the things and went out the next day and I shot video for Skechers and I did it and delivered it and they got paid and they were happy and good to go. And then I ended up returning the cameras because I didn't have any need for them after that. And B&H has a great refund return policy. So, matter of fact, they're coming to town next week.
Should see about getting them on.
That would be interesting, actually. I don't know. We'll see. I don't know if they're supposed to be here.
Well, tell them that they're calling in from somewhere.
That's true. I could do that. Maybe I could get somebody to call in from B&H. Maybe not the day that they're here, but maybe we can set that up. That might be kind of cool.
Is this shit top secret? Like, what kind of, is there like espionage happening? What's happening?
I don't know. I don't even know why they're coming, man. They literally reached out and said, we are visiting 8 of our affiliates across the country. You are one of them. We're flying in on, we'd like to fly in on this day. Are you available? I said, yes. And so they booked their ticket and they said, this is when we're coming in to see you. And so we'll see. I don't know what they want.
Maybe it'll be bearing gifts.
That'd be awesome. I think more they're just trying to get me to continue pushing their brand more and sell more shit for them. So,
well, then they certainly want to get on a podcast.
Doesn't that make sense? That would make sense to me. I would want to get on there if I were them.
They need to open their store more often, too, because every time I want to order something, the damn thing's closed.
I know. There's so many Jewish holidays that every time I go on the internet to go there, it says, we'll return for ordering on, which doesn't make any sense to me. It's a fucking website. Why can't you take orders when you're closed?
It's got to, man, it's got to be something to do with the religion. But man, they have like 634 holidays a year somehow.
Yeah. There's three a day every day.
Yeah, it's nuts.
No shit. That's what it feels like because every single time. Is Adorama like that too?
Yeah,
that's
same thing, dude.
Yeah. So, they got so many holidays.
Where's their headquarters? Is it downtown New York?
It's right. It's in Brooklyn.
Yeah. No, B&H is in Manhattan.
Near 42nd Street?
Photo? Yeah, 42nd Street Photo is there. I'm not sure how far away from 42nd Street, but yeah, in Brooklyn. Manhattan is, I think Brooklyn is one of the boroughs in Manhattan, dude.
No, Brooklyn is across the East River, dude. It's on the other.
B&H is in Brooklyn, homie.
Hells no, it's in Manhattan, guaranteed. No,
it's in Brooklyn. I've been
199%.
Let's look at their address. Let's find
near the Upper West Side, I think. Like Midtown.
I don't know. Where do you see it?
It's definitely not in Brooklyn.
That's where I'm at. Hours of operations, NYC Superstore, NYC Landmark.
Oh, they won't tell you. They're closed.
New York.
Bring up Google Maps. What are you guys trying to do?
9th Avenue.
9th Ave.
Yeah, on 9th Ave. There they are.
So, yes, that's in Manhattan.
Okay, so this is, I don't know New York at all. I hate New York. It smells like piss. I don't like going there. But I have been, and I went to B&H Photo, and that shit is amazing. If you've never been there, oh my God, go. If you're into photography, that's like walking into the mothership. It's amazing.
Yeah, the first time I went there, I just wanted to, I had only heard of like Broncolor, like Scorl packs. And I really just wanted to see what like a $25,000 pack looked like. And they're just sitting there and they have that crazy like trolley shit that runs through the ceiling with people's stuff running around up to the cashier. And it's amazing. That place is friggin' amazing.
Oh yeah. It's got the whole conveyor system above your head. And have you been there, Senior?
I haven't been there. No.
Oh man. You go in and it's multi-story, but it's interesting the way you shop. So you go up to somebody and you're like, I'd like to buy this light, right? And they're like, okay. And they go to a computer nearby and they bang it in, little kiosks everywhere.
Down it comes.
And they give you a ticket. No, they give you a ticket. And then they say, okay, keep shopping. And you do that all throughout the store and you're not carrying shit around. And then when you're done, you go to a register and they got a ton of registers lined up like bank tellers almost. And you hand them your ticket. And everything keeps getting added to your ticket that you want to buy. And so, meanwhile, somebody's pouring all that shit into like a bin, and it's going on this conveyor system over your head through the whole store, so that by the time you get to the end, they pull all your shit out of a bin, and you pay, and you go home.
Yeah, it's like a weird green recycling bin thing.
Yeah.
Didn't you work in high school in a place like that?
Yeah, I did. W. Bell and Company, you're right. Yeah, it worked. It was very similar to that.
Same business plan.
Yeah, they probably, they're not around anymore. So I think
it's amazing that B&H
is doing better.
Yeah, they're crushing it. Even with like Amazon and stuff, they're killing it.
Yeah.
Or it appears they are. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, if you're going to buy photo stuff, where do you go?
Yeah, I am the B&H, Adorama.
I go to B&H. I don't do Adorama, man. I'm not an Adorama guy.
Sam's camera? LA?
Sammy's in LA, yeah. I mean, if you're local, but if I'm going to buy online, I'm buying at B&H. I don't buy it at Sammy's or Adorama or anywhere else. I go to B&H. I mean,
why are you mad at Adorama?
I had bad experience with them.
Oh, it's like Nikon.
Yeah, them too.
Yeah.
Hey, man, been doing it long enough, you're going to have bad experience with some of these people, you know? So I've got the ones that I'm loyal to, and they take care of me, and, you know, so.
That's why there's more than one company.
Yeah. Evidently, I've spent enough money there to justify having them fly out to see me. So that's a scary thought.
They don't want to come to see me at all because I only buy like two things there every 5 years.
Really?
Well, no, I buy a lot of shit there, but not as much as you.
Well, there's a picture of it, Senior. It's crazy. Yeah. It's like a city block. It's huge. You guys got what up there? Is Henry's? Is that what? Canadians
we have Henry's and Vistec are like the two big ones, but freaking they're a ripoff, dude. They're so expensive. So like I'd rather buy gear. Like if I was going to buy something local, I'd rather go to Best Buy than use Henry's or Vistec. Isn't bad. My friend actually works there, so when I bought the EOS R, he got me a pretty sweet deal.
Wait, with Vistec. So you can get cheaper prices at Best Buy than you can at those places?
Yeah, I mean, like Henry's is Henry's is like, it's like the, like Canada's camera store. So like people, like some doctor's like, oh, I need a camera. I go to Canada's camera store and he goes there and gets raped for a 5D4 or whatever the hell he's buying.
Everything's retail priced, huh?
Yeah, everything's like retail and then
retail
some.
List, yeah.
Interesting. I didn't realize. I thought they were all about the same because of your import tax and all that kind of shit.
No. Yeah, Henry's is through the roof, dude.
Interesting.
Now, I've been out of the market for a while, but do these places ship with no tax or do they charge tax?
Now you have to pay sales tax. As of this year, B&H had to start charging sales tax. This is the whole war between Trump and Bezos and all of this and starting to charge internet sales taxes for every company. So it used to be only if you lived in the state that they had business in.
Okay.
But now you have to pay tax on everything. So what B&H has done, and this is pretty clever, Barry, you know more about it than I do. I haven't even used that service yet, but they do like a give back or something.
Yeah, I think you get whatever taxes you paid up front, you get it back on a gift card.
So you can spend it back in the store. So that, I mean, they're still getting the money from you, but they're collecting the sales tax from you. And of course they're paying their sales tax, but they're crediting you that as a store credit so that you can respend that there, which is pretty slick. I mean, I don't know how that could sustain as a business model. I guess they got enough markup in the products, but
because it used to be going across state lines, we would go buy cameras and equipment in D.C., for example, and we hand carry them back to Virginia, but they would ship the box for you, so you wouldn't have to pay sales tax on it.
Yeah, scamming.
Yeah.
Well, Barry, yeah, I know that Barry does that with Canada.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
He leaves the box here and just hand carries it across state lines.
Yeah.
Border Patrol, you're listening?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to be on Discovery Channel next week. It's going to be awesome.
Yep. Amazing.
He's going to drive across the border and see his picture there on the wall, you know.
Actually, I heard today that anybody applying for a visa in the U.S. now, you have to give them all of your social media username and login info. Like, if you have Instagram, you have to give it to U.S. Customs and Border Protection, and they have full access to all your social media.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah,
particularly if you look Muslim.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, you want to keep the bad guys out.
How are you doing, Barry?
I shave before I travel to the U.S. I can't, like, I like to have a beer, but I just can't travel.
You do.
They don't let me.
I saw you in your drunken Instagram live thing, and you actually had a little bit of a beard and some hair growing and stuff, but then when you showed up here in the States, you were all shaving short and hair cut, and I was like, man, this guy actually does shave it all off before he comes.
No, I do, man. I gotta put my TSA cut on.
That's funny.
I don't like getting finger banged in the airport, dude.
That happened to you one time coming to the I've never seen. I mean, you were still shaking up when you got here. I was like, man, this guy went through hell and back.
Dude, I still have PTSD.
They quarantined you for a couple hours, didn't they?
Yeah, and the craziest thing was I had dropped my wife and my kids off in Terminal 3 of the airport. They were going to Cuba for a family trip, and I went to Terminal 1 to catch my flight out there and got hemmed up for like 3 hours. And I was like, well, if you're not going to let me into the fucking U.S., let me go over there, and I'll go to Cuba with my family.
Well, that was probably your mistake. You were saying, my family's in Cuba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe.
What kind of voice was that?
I don't know.
What is he doing over there?
That was a Canadian with a Cuban accent.
Oh,
it was pretty good.
The Canadian Cuban, okay.
Yeah. I haven't heard it before. Like, you should develop that character a little bit.
Yeah, sounds like a Simpsons character or something. Well, what else do we got, man? Not a lot here. Let's see. We talked about Aaron coming on. We talked about some of the Apple stuff. iOS is kind of cool. Here's one of the things that relates to photography with that I've wanted for years that I saw is coming. You can finally rotate video in post on your phone.
I thought you were going to talk about Sidecar.
Nah, I mean, that's okay, but there's already apps that do that. I mean, they're building it in now. So what Barry's talking about is being able to use an iPad or something as a secondary display. That they're building that in. But I'm talking about video. So you take a video on your phone, you got no way to rotate it. It is what it is currently.
But and if you're a mom, you shoot everything vertical.
Right. And so it's shit. So they're finally allowing you to be able to rotate video. And, oh, man, thank God. So that's been – you used to have to get a separate app to do that or download iMovie and do it in iMovie. What a pain.
Well, that's what I don't like about Instagram. Everything is – vertical square, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it doesn't have to be square necessarily. That's how it started, was square format. But you can now do horizontal or vertical.
Drives me nuts. I refuse to use it.
But their stories are intended to be vertical video, basically, which is weird, man. I mean, I understand that's the platform of the phone, but when I first started doing them, I used to rotate them. Everybody would have to rotate their phone to watch my video because I refused, but I've just kind of got on board. It's just easier, and I'm lazy, so...
I'm lazy too. I don't mind being lazy.
Sometimes it's nice.
It is nice. Man, I got to send you a picture of my lawn. You got to see this thing this year. Woo! Man, Scott's wants to replace the picture on the bag. Like the picture on the Scott's
with your
bag.
Lawn?
Well, mine's already on there, but they want to put a new one on.
Oh.
Well, hopefully it's the after picture, not the before.
Oh, you should see this thing, man. I took a picture with my phone yesterday, and it looks Photoshopped. It's so good. I'll have to send it to you. Do you want me to beam it over to you right now?
How's the backyard looking, though?
Oh, dude, this is actually pretty funny. So my backyard, I had to put some seed down and some topsoil. So it's coming along. But if you pull up the Google Maps, like, satellite view of my yard, you can see the legacy of the slip and slide Google Map.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, when the satellite flew over, it captured the...
When I went to visit him last year, we went there, and it was hot as hell. It was like 105 degrees or something. And wanted the kids to play. So we went to the store and I bought a slip and slide, a grass killer for his yard, you know. And Barry takes such, he's like so meticulous about his lawn and so anal about it. I knew it would drive him crazy. So that's why I bought the biggest thing I could find that would kill his fucking lawn. And a giant pool, like an inflatable pool. And it was huge. It was, I don't know, how big was that thing? Like 10 feet by 6 feet or something like that?
Easily. So, maybe bigger.
Yeah, so I found the two biggest fucking grass killers I could find. We put him in his backyard, filled him up with water, and left him there the whole weekend that we were there.
Oh, I thought they'd be going, you got to take that shit down at 5 o'clock.
No, and then by the time we left, we killed them all and rolled them all up, and his grass was completely dead underneath both of them. And you could just see his face.
I tried not to be mad.
He had a little twitch going, one of his eye and shit. It was what's happening?
Yeah, I was not happy.
It grew back.
Yeah, it did. It looks good. It looks good now. And we put some planters out this week, so it's coming along. But man, I'm gonna beam a picture of my front lawn over to you right now through the internet, and then you tell me what you think about it.
All right. I suppose it's hard for our viewers to see this, but
Okay, here it comes. Get ready.
All right, I'm ready. I'm waiting.
And tell me what you think about the pattern. Oh, man, it's nice. Is it there? Did it come in?
No. This better not be some weird porn. Okay, there you go.
There you go.
That looks like a baseball field.
It does.
Yeah.
It's like a diamond cut?
Yeah, the lines going through. I see you cross-cut alternating weeks. That's nice.
Mm-hmm. It looks juiced.
That is not juiced. That's straight out of camera.
Yeah, I think you might have juiced that a little bit.
I don't know. I don't
What's
think
that
so.
Sweet unit in the garage back there?
What color is that car supposed to be?
That's white. That's a white RAV4. It's got a dirty D sticker on the back window.
That must be your wife's car, huh?
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Oh, I'm saying no self-respecting man would drive a RAV4. It's a woman's car.
Oh.
It is. In fact, your sister's got one, right?
She does, yeah.
Does your sister have a RAV4?
She does, one, just like
How
yours.
How does she like it?
Well, she loves it. I mean, most women do.
I've had it.
I was hoping yours was next to it, like the Porsche next to it or something. I don't know. We can't see that after the garage.
Yeah, I don't keep the GT2 RS on site. I keep it. I parked it.
Park it off site. So you just drive the Corolla on a weekly basis that I see there.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And then gotcha. I bust out the Porsche on the weekends.
Well, you said you're going to get a new car. What happened with that? Are you buying a skin colored taco? Hey, by the way, that was my option at the airport when I got there, and because we had reserved a pickup truck, so I went to get the truck, and they were like, "Do you want an F-150 or a taco?" And I was like, "Is the what color is the taco?" And they were said like tan or sand or some shit.
Oh,
and I said,
"Oh,
a skin colored taco or an F-150?" Man, I had a hard time making that decision. Unfortunately, I had to go with the F-150 because we needed bikes. I needed the room. But I so wanted to rent a skin-colored taco and drive it around.
Man, this was your chance, and you fucking blew it.
I wanted to take a picture of it and send you so bad as I was driving down the road in a skin-colored taco.
For those that don't know, a skin-colored taco is a Toyota Tacoma. We dropped the A and the M and the A. The M and the A? Tacoma. Yeah, you drop the ma from the end, you get taco. And then you get one painted the color of skin. Caucasian skin,
but that's one of the actual colors you can get it.
Yeah, skin colored.
Yeah, it's Caucasian skin, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice unit. I would love to get one, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I got to get a lease in the next 2 months because mine's up, and the fucking interest rates are horrible. I looked today, and they're like 4.9, 5.49. Like they're tough interest rates right now. So hopefully they come down.
Well, you're a baller, man. You got all that RGG EDU money coming in now, so.
Oh, shit.
Anyway, all right. Well, I mean, we're at 50 minutes. I guess we could jump into. I don't have any Q&A. I don't think I have any Q&A because I didn't put out the call for it. Do you have any questions? Anybody hit you up with anything interesting this week?
I had a guy named Peter hit me up and ask where to leave questions, and I was like, we can just leave it in the email here. You reached out at, and I said, hit us up on IG or hit us up on pixelpunishers.com or here. And I haven't heard back yet. So
I got one question, and it was from a guy asking, he says, "Hi, Tony, I am going to be commercial interior photographer. I already bought your tutorial. Now I'm faced with a choice of lenses. Please let me know why you prefer the 24 lens as your workhorse over the 20. I appreciate your answer." And I said, well, I'm not aware of a 20 millimeter tilt shift, first of all. And secondly, the wider you go, the more distortion you're going to get in the space. So pretty basic question, pretty basic answer. But there may be some people out there that were wondering the same thing. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't even think there's – is there even a 20 millimeter prime anywhere for any camera?
Nikon may make one. They make some weird sizes. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. The 24 is the sweet spot for me. And more often than not, the 24 with the 1.4 extender to get right around 35 is beautiful. I did have to break out my 17 to 40 last week, and I kind of wish I had a 17 tilt shift for those one or two times a year. But oh man, the 24 is perfect.
Yeah, they do. It's make amazing. Nikon makes a 20 millimeter 1.8.
Really?
Yeah. So this must be what he's talking about, but. Yeah, I mean, first of all, I want a tilt shift. Secondly, I rarely need to go that wide, but when I do need to go wider, I have the 17 tilt shift, which you have to buy, by the way. I don't understand what you're waiting for.
Because I don't shoot that wide, dude.
You gotta have some distortion on that, though.
The 17?
Particularly that 20.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I have the 14 rectilinear Canon, and there's no distortion, man. Those things, the edges of that thing are straight up and down. There's a little bit of chromatic aberration, but it's freaking straight. It's amazing for a 14 millimeter lens. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think for $700 this is going to be as good.
I think the 17s actually is straighter up and down than the 24.
Especially when you put the extender on the 24. That's probably why you're saying that, because that extender does add quite a bit of barrel distortion.
Yeah, it really does. It really.
You shoot with that most of the time when you're doing that stuff, don't you?
Oh yeah. Oh well, probably half the time with just the straight up 24, and half the time.
It's not bad by itself, but I'm surprised at how well that 14 does. It's nice. I very rarely use it, but it is always in the kit. So to answer this cat's question, you know, I would get tilt shift lens. Nikon makes a 24, buy a tilt shift lens. You can get away with like 80% of what you're shooting with that one lens, and then maybe get an extender. Or somebody said you couldn't put the extender on the Nikon.
Yeah, you can't. You cannot put the extender on the Nikon.
Yeah, another reason to buy a Canon. Just sell your Nikon shit and go buy a Canon. Buy an EOS R. And use my affiliate link, by the way, if you're going to do that. So,
man, the files from the EOS R are definitely like I'm noticing that, like, if I'm zoomed in at like 400%, like if I look at where there's like a feather on an edge, like on a hard crisp edge, there might be like, usually I'm thinking about my 5D4, there'd maybe be like a 3 or 4 pixel like feather, and this EOS R is like literally like maybe 1 or 2 pixels. Like, it's damn, it's crunchy even near the edges. It's the image quality is definitely better. I don't know. Like, we don't need to keep going back to this every week, but it's a fucking good camera.
It is. And people are wanting a higher resolution one. And it's like, holy shit, this one's got so much detail as it is. I can't even imagine. But
did you hear that the Canon, there's a rumor that the next mirrorless they're going to announce is some like weird, like, camera for astronomy.
That wouldn't surprise me. I don't know.
What are they doing, man? What are they doing over there?
I guess there's a demand for it. Of course, we're going to wait 10 years to see tilt shift lenses with an RF mount, but they'll release some bullshit like that has 4 people that need it.
Yeah. Who's out there shooting that? And they need a special star camera.
Yeah.
Nerds, man. You gotta do it for the nerds.
I did talk to somebody this week that does that, astronomy photography. He uses some kind of a scope, and it has a mount that you can put your DSLR body onto and take photos, and I don't know, whatever. But
aren't there isn't there rigs that will actually track the movement of the stars so you don't get trails? It will like burn into the sensor and track the actual.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep. I'm sure there's all kinds of nerd gear out there for that stuff, you know, but I've never gotten into it, and it's not something I care about. The stars that every night I can see with my eyes, I don't need to freaking take pictures of them.
It is pretty cool.
It can be, I guess. That's just not my jam.
That's not your jam?
Nope. So let's see. That was the only question that I got. You got nothing. So let's talk about Barry's bookshelf.
Well, today I'm gonna pass the baton, and it's going to be Tony's bookshelf just for today.
All right.
But you know what I want to do as well? I think that maybe if we could rotate between Barry's bookshelf and Barry's record shelf. Because I happen to be the owner of about maybe, what's over there? I don't know, 1,200, 1,600 records. And I got some like some rare gems in there. So maybe every other week or maybe once a month we can slide something off of Barry's record shelf and dust it off and have folks maybe check it out on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever their flavor of musical.
Okay. How about,
I mean, just an idea.
Maybe we just change the name of the segment and call it,
Barry's Dusty Old Shelf.
Yeah.
Barry's
Dusty Shelf.
Spin cycle. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we could just call it Barry's Dusty Shelves and you just either a book or an album, either one.
Or some.
Give me an example of one of these albums.
Yeah. Kick one off, man.
I was thinking today, there's this funk band that's on this record label called Stone's Throw, and they're called the Breakestra. And basically they play live breaks. Like they go through a sampling of like some of the most famous hip hop breaks from the '90s. And they play it all live. It's like a live mixtape. So they put all these breaks together and it's like 60 minutes of just live breaks. And you're like, oh, I know that sample. It'll be like Eric B and Rakim and maybe Busta Rhymes. And then it's friggin' amazing. And I saw it sitting on Barry's dusty old record shelf there. And I was like, I think the viewers might enjoy that or the listeners, but the only problem is they don't have it on Spotify. They may have it on Apple Music, but the Breakestra, it's called the live mixtape part one. I think it's got like an Ampax reel on the cover. It's amazing.
Where would you buy something like that?
You could buy it down at probably a record store. Records are coming back big time. So,
well, I'm just wondering, like in the show notes, how am I going to put a link to that in there?
I'm sure it's on Amazon.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll find it and put it in there then.
Well, let's hear about your book in lieu of Barry's Dusty Old.
It is called Ultra Marathon Man. And hold on, let me see who it's by here. Hold on a second. I wasn't prepared for that. You caught me off guard. Ultra Marathon.
Barry, speaking of records, are you familiar with Doug Clark?
I'm not familiar with Doug Clark.
And the Hot Nuts.
do you want to wait? Before you tell me about Doug Clark, I want to tell you that I found the Breakestra LP record on Amazon, and it is $836.88 for those.
Well, I definitely want to put that link in the show notes with my affiliate link, just in case somebody picks that up. But
there's no free shipping. It's $6.49 for shipping as well.
All right. Well, I tell you what, if somebody picks that book up or that album up using my affiliate link, I will cover the shipping for you.
Will you also maybe send me a voucher for a pizza?
Sure. I tried that once before.
I know. They wouldn't do
Domino's
it.
Domino's doesn't like the international purchasing of gift certificates. I tried to buy Barry a gift certificate to Domino's.
Really?
I actually bought it. I bought him a $100 gift certificate. He did like some overnight editing for me or something. I was just sending a thank you. And I paid for it, and it was like, it has been sent. And then like 5 minutes later, I got an email back that said, unfortunately, we cannot process this gift certificate, and they refunded me. How do they know he's in Canada? I just sent it to an email address. How do they even know?
It was a dark day for me, man.
IP address or something.
Must be. Yeah, I don't understand how that. It's amazing. Man, science.
Okay, so before you go on, Tony Sr., did you say it was Doug Clark? Is that who it was?
Yes. I think you probably best save for another episode where we can we can spin it up live.
Yeah,
let's bring it back to Doug Clark on a future episode.
You know who else is into vinyl? Aaron Nace has a nice setup. We'll talk to him about that too. I was blown away. That's actually what inspired me to buy my turntable. As I was out at Flern, and he has it set up in his office. And he's got a set of Sonos Faber towers next to it that are amazing speakers.
Are they high fidelity?
Oh, amazing. Yeah. It is amazing. He's got a really cool setup. But I was like, this is incredible. So I came home and looked him up, and I was like, nope, not buying those. But I did buy some others. I bought some B&Os, Bang & Olufsen's, that are really nice little bookshelf speakers and a turntable, and I've got it here in the studio. But we'll talk to him about his system because it's actually pretty dope. So,
well, if you need a $900 record, I know where to find one.
Perfect. Yeah, great. Well, we'll have Senior bring in Doug Clark and the Hot Nuts, and we'll play that.
It's called the Hot Nuts.
Yeah, just Google it, man. We'll find it. But like I said, we'll save it for the other episode. We'll dump it and dive into that deeper.
Let's hear about the multi-million-dollar man.
We'll play with their ring-dang-do on another one.
I'm excited.
Ultra Marathon Man, Confessions of an All-Night Runner, by Dean Karnazes. And I'm doing the audiobook because I don't have time to read right now. So I've been listening to it while walking around with Soren, et cetera, et cetera. But this guy does ultra marathons. So if you're not in the know, that's marathons of 100 miles or more, I guess. And he goes through how he got into running. And then he goes through and just gives you a play-by-play of his first 100-mile run, which is called the Western 100, I guess. It's absolutely amazing. This guy, and you'll dig this, he runs so far. His favorite, in the first chapter, he starts it and talks about his favorite pizza joint is Round Table, hands down.
Pizza.
And he says the reason it's his favorite pizza joint is because they will deliver pizza anywhere. All of the other companies need a physical address. But he calls Round Table and he's like, hey, I need to get a pepperoni pizza order delivered. And they say, okay, great. What's the address? He goes, I need you to meet me at mile marker 134 on Highway 9 or whatever. And so they go out and actually meet him like on the road with a pizza. He pays them. He's learned how to run with one hand holding a pizza box. And he says he rolls up four slices into equivalent of a pizza log with the other and eats that while he's running. He can do all of this stuff. He's gotten so good at it, but because he's running so far, he has to fuel his body with shit. So
is he the actual one narrating? Is he the actual one narrating it?
No, he's not narrating this, but the guy, this is actually a pretty good narrator. He does a nice job. But,
so I wonder if he sounded normal, you know?
Yeah. I don't know.
I really like this guy. Like, I really like the way that he, I like what he stands for.
I thought you'd relate to his workout style.
Oh
so,
man.
Like I got to go for a run. I'm going to have a pizza delivered while I'm on my run.
While we're on the P word here, have you seen the commercials for Domino's, how they have like takeout insurance? And if you get like knocked over by the wind and your pizza falls down on the ground, you take it back and they give you a fresh one. Is that real or is that just clickbait?
I've never heard of anything like that. What?
It's a Canadian
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, there's like they have like takeout insurance now, and they show like this dude's just trying to get home with his wheel and shit keeps going sideways and he keeps bringing the busted up box back and they just keep making him fresh pizzas. And it's like Domino's takeout insurance. I don't know if it's I mean, it's been running for a while, so it can't be April Fool's.
Oh my gosh. No,
but I don't know if it's clickbait or not. I'll find the link and we'll put it in the show notes.
All right. Well, anyway, I would give Ultra Marathon Man 10 out of 10. It was good. I liked it a lot. I thought it was great. And you don't have to be a runner to enjoy it. The guy, his accounts of stuff were funny. It's engaging. You're sitting there listening to it going, you know, what drives somebody to do this? And he answers all those questions in it. And he's got some stuff in there, mental, like ways to overcome mental challenges and stuff that you can apply to other parts of your life as well. Like whether you're, whatever it is that you're into, you know,
50 marathons, 50 states and 50 days.
It's dangerous to go around shooting out 10 out of 10s, bro. I mean, that's a slippery slope. I mean,
I've only done it one other time. That was the Elon Musk book. I think this one is another one that is, I have no complaints with this book. It was fantastic.
A 10. That's, I mean, you could give it a 9.5, but to throw it a 10 is, I mean, it's serious.
All right. Well, I mean, I only have a couple books on the 10 out of 10 bookshelf. The rest are all below that, but this is one that goes right up there. I thought it was really good.
Is that his book also Eat Run? Is that his?
Eat this one down here?
Yeah.
Eat
Run.
No, that's somebody else. Scott Jurek.
I wonder what they eat when they're running.
Eat Run. I don't know. But it's probably a cookbook. I don't know. Anyway.
Chili cheese dogs are portable.
Dude, so he asks them to bring him a pizza, and he says, I want a Hawaiian, but I want extra ham, extra pineapple, and extra cheese. And do you have any desserts? And they're like, yeah, we have cheesecake. He goes, I'll take one. And they're like, one slice? He says, no, bring me a whole cheesecake. So they brought this guy a large pizza and a whole cheesecake, and he was holding them both, running down the road on a 100-mile run one night, 150-mile run one night. And he's shoving the thing in his face. He ate an entire cheesecake.
So I have to be honest, and I thought he was I thought he was an American hero or a worldwide global hero, but anybody that gets double ham and double pineapple on their pizza slides down the scale.
Hey, that's a Canadian thing, man. You can't be mad at that.
I can be mad at that.
That's the Hawaiian pizza was, we talked about it last week or whatever. That it comes from your neck of the woods, man.
Can you think of a shittier idea in the world than putting pineapple in hand? Like, there's got to be shittier things than that.
Yeah, running 150 miles.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah. But it doesn't suck as bad as Hawaiian pizza.
I don't know, man. Maybe that's how he's looking at it. Like, this sucks. What sucks less? So Hawaiian pizza.
Do you want
pizza?
Me to tell you? Let me tell you what my... Okay. Full disclosure. Here's my massive beef with the Hawaiian pizza. It's because, I mean, pineapple is a juicy morsel of fruit. And as it cooks, it renders the juice. And the juice happens to leach out on the entire pie. So if you were only to maybe have half Hawaiian, half cheese, that shitty sweet juice... It leaches over onto the other side, so it basically tarnishes the entire wheel, and then you can't have any of the wheel. And that's my problem with
it. I'm disappointed, man, because I thought you were a true pizza fan.
I am a true pizza fan.
Any true pizza fan would eat any wheel regardless of what's on it.
No, I would. That's not true. That's false.
I'm disappointed.
Do you eat pineapple?
I don't think you really like pizza.
I don't know, man. I don't know if that's true or not, but I can tell you. I poach other people's super zooms online and I just claim them for my own.
I think it's a big ruse. Oh, he's it got is. A bunch of books out, dude. He's got run 26.2 stories of blisters and bliss, 50 and 50. He runs 50 states and 50 marathons in 50 states and 50 days, all kinds of shit. This guy's a machine, but again, doesn't matter if you're into running or not. It's just the story itself is told really well. I think he did a nice job with it. So anyway,
how old is this guy?
I don't know.
It says 73. Isn't
it? I don't know how old he is. I'm not sure. We'll find out. I'll look it up. But, okay, man, we're at an hour. Let's cut this one because this is, we don't have a guest, so I don't want to run this too long. But, got anything else to add before we roll out of here?
I don't have a lot of anything to add. I feel pretty fulfilled.
Me too. It was a good Sunday. I want to go home and get some rest.
Is it Sunday? Today's not Sunday.
Monday.
Yeah, today's Monday.
Well, yeah, but they didn't know that.
Oh, so I fucking blew it.
Yeah, now they know we did it a day late.
Oh, man. See, as that was spilling out of my mouth, I knew that I should just cram it back in. But with words, you can't do that.
No, well, I could cut it if I wanted to, but people know we don't do that.
We're going out to breakfast this morning? Yeah, we're going out
to breakfast. They don't know it's not morning. They might think it's morning. They don't know that it's 10 o'clock at night. Yeah.
I have no clue. Well, it's 12:51 a.m. over here. Oh, and it's freezing on the East Coast, dude. It's cold here. Yeah,
it's time for you to get some sleep anyway. So I bought you heaters. I bought you space heaters. Use those things, man.
I have to turn them off when recording because I don't want the background noise.
Oh, they're too loud. Gotcha. I should have bought you quieter ones.
So I put my cloak on.
Those battery-powered socks.
Yes. Maybe some of those hand warmers.
All right. Well, Senior... If people care, where do they find you on the interwebs?
On the front porch, drinking a beer.
All right. Barry, where do they find you?
You can find me over on the gram, SWIZZLER.
All right. And they can find me also on Instagram at Tony Roseland, Twitter at Tony Roseland, YouTube at Tony Roseland. And if you've got questions for us, especially for Mr. Nace next week, be sure to hit us up, direct message on Instagram, at Pixel Punishers, and that's it for now. We will catch you next week, guys. Thanks.
I like this song.
It's a classic break song.